While it's true that most of our listening family associates Insight for Living with the voice of Chuck Swindoll, there's a segment of our audience who hears this program in a language other than English and a voice other than Chuck's. Today on Insight for Living, we have the privilege of sitting down with a charming couple that Chuck has commissioned to translate his Bible teaching into the Romanian language. In a moment, we'll ask Chuck to make that introduction. But to get the conversation started, we've invited one of our board members, Roger Kemp, to lead the way.
Thank you, Dave. And you know, Chuck, this morning I have on my mind a colleague of ours on the Insight for Living Ministries board, Nay Bailey, was one of the first who years ago sort of put a face on Romania. I know for me, perhaps for you, it was in the early 80s. I think she was invited to speak there for Campus Crusade for Christ.
That's correct. You know, I'm glad you mentioned her because I was going to say the first I remember the country's name crossing my lips was a conversation with Nay. And I honestly could not put my finger on it geographically. And it would be interesting to know who could do that today.
Can I confess that I had to look it up this morning just to make sure I understood which countries bordered Romania?
Right.
And certainly when Nay was there in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, under a much different regime than
was
today.
It ever? Yeah.
And she talked about the control of the government and the repression that the citizens were under and how practicing your Christian faith at the time was really in a different order than it is today. We're going to hear about that today. And, you know, you've often used as an illustration the tyrannical leader. I'm going to say his name correctly. I'm going to try real hard here. Nicolae Ceaușescu. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
We'll have to ask Ben in a few moments. But yes, I would use that pronunciation.
Yeah, he was a leader that stole the dignity of his people and worked very hard to repress the Christian voice in Romania. I'm glad to say that today it's a much different story.
Yeah. And, you know, he not only was a dictator, but was oppressive in that dictatorship and didn't try to hide it or keep it under wraps.
Right. And, you know, sometimes God uses people to soften our hearts toward a part of the world. And clearly, that's the case. First, it was Nay Bailey who opened our hearts and minds.
Yeah.
And then it was a couple that you met at Dallas Theological Seminary. They happen to be sitting with us today, who really put a face on the country and maybe softened your heart, Chuck, for Romania.
Yes. I first met Ben while getting underway in his studies at Dallas Seminary. That had to have been about 2006.
Yes, sir.
And back in those days, it was a pleasure to meet in my role there as a part of the leadership. I met all the incoming students, and you stood out, not only because you represented a country that is always sort of removed from our awareness. You know, we'll name countries that come to our minds, and I rarely hear the name Romania mentioned by individual. And out of the blue, you shake my hand and tell me that's where you're from and flash that golden smile at me. And I'm thinking, your English is superb. And it's interesting that, Ben, you spoke fluent English, which is a great way to come to the seminary where all the study is in English.
Thank you so much, Chuck. We are truly blessed to be here. My wife, Anda, was with me at Dallas Theological Seminary. That's when we first met you, and we couldn't be more blessed today after all these years of working together.
Yeah, our paths have crossed numerous times as you were a part of our team at Insight for Living. And Anda, you began your own studies.
That's right.
At Dallas Seminary.
I had the chance to get my master's in counseling at Dallas Theological Seminary. And then I also had the chance to start an internship here at Insight for Living and then continue on to work in the pastoral ministries department, which I have to say it's absolutely been wonderful for my counseling. Being able to take those phone calls and learn from that, it's been such a huge growth opportunity for me.
Isn't that great? And on top of that, Ben, you were an intern with us at Stonebriar Church.
That's right. While I was studying at Dallas Seminary, I was able to do an internship at Stonebriar Community Church.
Yep.
as well as the internship here at Insight for Living Ministries. And that those experiences have truly added to my studies at Dallas Seminary.
You were an intern on steroids. You were both places. I mean, seminary as well as Insight for Living.
I just wanted to learn, and the combination was absolutely perfect. Dallas Seminary and then the practical experience.
Yes. And you got to see the work of the ministry behind the scenes.
That's right.
Not just the public part, which is the benefit of being an intern.
That was a true privilege.
Isn't that great?
There's a lot of learning in those behind-the-scenes settings.
You know, Raj, we could go on and on, but you probably have something else you want to talk about.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking if there's a prototype for what we're trying to accomplish in Vision 195. This couple is the prototype.
Very true.
Because we're not just going out and looking for somebody to be your voice, a translator for hire.
Yeah, and planting a flag there saying, well, that's another country we're involved in. We are engaged with the people.
Right.
And those who lead that ministry, which Ben and Anda do so well in this rarely mentioned country that is emerging now that you've gotten your freedom, and not you, but the whole country has experienced the freedom. And I'm assuming you are truly free, or am I misassuming that?
Well, that is a very good question. Mm. Yes, we are free to share the gospel, to plant churches, to be on the radio. These are privileges that our parents, our grandparents never had under communism.
Yeah.
And I remember those days. Both of us, both my wife and I, grew up during the communist regime. But I had a rare privilege and a tremendous blessing to be raised in a family of believers.
Now, that's
Baptist
amazing.
Believers. Yes.
That's amazing because you're in an atheistic country.
Yes.
That is politically and socially. And here you are in an enclave of Christianity. Mom and dad?
Mom and dad, by the grace of God.
And was that also true of you?
No, actually, my father was an officer in the Romanian Communist Army.
Oh. Got it.
He was a communist, and he was passionate about that.
Oh, yeah. So did he take aim at Ben, or did he back off?
He didn't know him at the time, thankfully. But my father is actually the way that my whole family came to know the Lord, because right after the revolution— he became a believer.
Mm. Was the revolution sort of a jolt to his whole system?
I think his system had begun to be shaken before that.
Okay.
And, you know, not having food to eat and not having heat and not having electricity for days on end will do that to your belief system.
Yeah. Remind us of the year of the revolution, when that era was.
It was 1989 when the revolution came.
Did you see it coming?
Personally,
you were,
I have not.
Really
I was
young.
Only 9 years old.
Yeah, right. So you were.
But my parents and obviously my grandparents could only have prayed, and I know they did. I grew up in a family where we prayed a lot for opportunities to share the gospel. My father was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. They had to do a lot of their work in secret.
Of course.
Including playing the Jesus movie that Campus Crusade for Christ had developed, including for those parts of the world. My father would play that movie only at night with the curtains pulled.
Sure.
And invited neighbors and people to come watch the movie. If they had ever been caught doing
I was going to ask what would have happened.
They would have gone to jail. And with other pastors, these are true stories that are now well known, you would hear about accidents, you know, that would happen, and so-and-so, such-and-such pastor would lose their life in an accident that most likely was coordinated, so to speak, by the communists. Yeah. And obviously, a lot of them were put in jail. The name of Richard Wurmbrand comes to mind, and he's very well known.
The voice of the martyrs.
The voice of the martyrs. Mm. He spent 14 years in a communist prison in Romania.
And tortured for his faith.
And tortured for his faith, because every single time he would get out of the prison, he would go back to preaching the gospel.
Doing what he had been doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ben, when was your inspiration to come to the United States for training? Tell us about not only your faith conversion, but when you decided as a young man to study the Bible at a deeper level.
It was after the revolution in 1990, on a Sunday evening during a revival. It was in a small Baptist church that I surrendered my life to Christ, trusted him as my savior. And my parents moved from Transylvania to the south of the country as missionaries in our own country, because now it was freedom to plant churches and to share the gospel. It was during that time in high school that I was called by the Lord to full-time ministry. And right out of high school, I went to a small Bible college in Bucharest. At that time, it was the only Baptist college in the country. Wow. And after 4 years of bachelor's in pastoral ministries, I stepped out into assistant pastor position, which I had for 2 years in Bucharest. We were married, and we were serving in a small church plant in Bucharest when we realized that we needed more training. Mm-hmm. And the Lord brought to our mind and our hearts through some missionaries and pastors that we knew from the States, Dallas Theological Seminary, just as a vision and as something impossible for us to reach. We just started to pray about that. Mm. We didn't have the funds. It was scholarships that made it possible. We came to Dallas. We had never been in the state of Texas, and we had never been to Dallas. We knew nobody here, and we had a little bit over $200 in our pockets, no money in the bank. Wow. And
not a soul. You didn't know a soul.
We didn't know anybody.
That's faith.
Except some people that the Lord was starting to put together, you know, here in Dallas that we would know. Mm. And then that all grew into coming in contact with Insight for Living. Right. And it was because of one of your books that was a required reading in our first semester at Dallas Seminary, The Grace Awakening.
Oh, my.
And it was reading that book. We were so blessed that I told Anda, I really want to have this in Romanian. I want to translate this. And it was a brown bag on campus at Dallas Seminary that was announced.
Yep. A brown bag? You mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll translate that for him.
It was just, one time in chapel, we heard that Insight for Living Ministries is going to have a meeting, a lunch, and a meeting with
some
students.
It's a casual meeting with students that come and bring their lunch. It's called a brown bag.
Yes. Yep. And they mentioned how they were looking into countries in Eastern Europe and, you know, Hungary, Romania, and some other countries. And when we heard the name of Romania mentioned, we immediately signed up for that lunch. We went and we met somebody at Insight for Living. And we said, this book, what can we do to get this book in Romanian? Little did we know back then. We couldn't have even, dreamt about it.
Isn't that something?
Now, explain to me, because you have such passion for the message of grace. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
How does that relate to the Christians in Romania?
It's a tremendous need among our people.
Yeah.
The message of grace and freedom in Christ, not only for those that do not know Christ, but even for those that are evangelicals. I grew up and I got to experience, especially right out of college in my pastoral experience, I experienced a lot of legalism. And that was hurtful. Mm. That was actually one of the things that made us aware that we needed more training. We didn't even know for sure what we needed. And when we came at Dallas Seminary and at Stonebriar, and we heard the word preached with an emphasis on grace, it truly changed our lives.
It's a message that cuts across any language, doesn't it, Chuck?
It does. I was going to ask Anda, did you have similar feelings when you were exposed to this teaching?
I did. At the time when we came to DTS, I think I was going through a very hard time in my spiritual life.
Yeah.
And I remember there'd been a series of disappointments that I'd gone through and things that I really had felt that God had let me down. And so I remember when I came to DTS, I kind of told God, God, this is your last chance that you have with me. Yeah. He was very kind.
He was very gracious
to let me understand about grace.
Good.
And hearing about grace and getting to know him as a God of grace was like being parched and being given a bottle of water. It was so healing for me to come and met God the way he really is and not the way I thought he was.
No matter where you go, there is just something about that magnificent truth, because everyone truly wants to be free. But whether they know it at the time or not, there's a cry in the human soul to be released from guilt and the burden of and the force that comes with that burden.
And the tyranny of trying to earn our salvation and earn God's favor.
Which you never accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as was asked me years ago, how good do you have to be? It's never good enough. How righteous do you have to be as righteous as God? You can't get there.
Right.
So the only way to get there is to have that righteousness gifted. And when you find out it has been gifted, it just, here again, it just thrills you beyond words. The people you're hearing today, if you just tuned in, are our friends from Romania, Ben and Anda. Pronounce your last name so that we hear it just right.
Mogos.
Mogos. Good. Mogos. And, of course, we're always interested in romantic stories.
Oh, boy.
So how you met and when you married and do you have a family? So both of you chime in on this. We'll let Anda start. Okay?
Sure. Well, we met when we were 16 in a Christian camp. It's a funny story. I fell into a river. Oh. And he felt sorry for me, so he started to talk to me to make me feel better. It really paid off.
Yeah,
I recommend it.
Now, did he dive in to capture to get you and save you? And no,
he did not. It would have made for a very good story, but no.
Very
after
chivalrous.
I got out, he came to keep me company. So.
I see. Well, that's interesting. You remember that?
I sure do.
Yeah,
and. That was in high school. We didn't keep in touch very much through high school. But when I went to Bucharest to Bible College, there she was. She was the only person I really knew in Bucharest.
So you
showed
didn't
me
go
around.
To the same high school?
No, we weren't even in the same city.
Well, I'll be.
It was in that camp that we first met, and then back, you know, during college in Bucharest, we reconnected.
Wow, you'd almost think God is sovereign.
Well, and in control of all things. It was in my junior year in Bible College in Bucharest that we got married.
And we have a 7-year-old son. His name is David.
Oh.
And, of course, we love him to pieces.
Of course. Full of energy.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Great. Yes.
And they live in Bucharest and minister there. You have a church. Tell a little bit about your church. I know folks would love to know about your ministry there.
Yes. In 2010, when we graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary, I had the privilege of being ordained for ministry at Stonebriar Community Church, and you ordained me together with the other elders. And that summer, we moved back to our home city, to Bucharest, and the need is so great there. It's a city of almost 3 million people with less than 0.5% evangelicals. So there's a need not just for one more church, but for hundreds more. And so we started a small Bible study in our living room with only 5 other people and with the vision of planting a gospel proclaiming and Christ-centered and grace-oriented church in downtown Bucharest. For some reason, the Lord laid this on our hearts to be in the middle of the city. There's no other evangelical church really in the heart of the city. And 9 years later, Agape Church that I have the privilege to pastor is within walking distance from Ceausescu's former palace in downtown Bucharest. It's a tremendous blessing and opportunity and privilege to have a church and be the light of the Lord in downtown Bucharest.
Yeah, you're like the beacon of light there.
We hope
to
be.
What a study in contrast. the palace, whatever goes on there now, and then here is Agape Fellowship
that, yes.
where you meet with, you started with five, you're growing and spreading your wings, if you will.
Yes, by the grace of God, we're relocating. We were even kicked out of several locations. We were never told it was because we're Baptists or evangelicals, but we knew that was the reason. There's spiritual opposition, and we need prayer for that. Now we're renting a building. We're overgrowing it, and we actually pray and dare to ask the Lord to own something for him there.
Good.
Anda, I wonder if we could go back, if you don't mind. You kind of glossed over a bit, or we let you, about your father's conversion. It's so dramatic to be a servant for the regime, and then after the revolution, his heart turned. Give us a little understanding of that.
So it's indeed an amazing story, because my father was raised by a believing grandmother. And when he was 14, he went to the military high school, so he became an officer. And during the military high school is when it was assumed that if you were an intellectual and if you were a smart person, you didn't believe in God. So nobody even bothered to tell him God didn't exist. They just told him, you're not allowed to talk to other Christians and read your Bible. And so automatically he became an atheist. It just was a matter of time. And so he became very passionate about communism. He wanted, actually, his dream was to write a book using arguments from the Bible that proved that God didn't exist. And so he was actually passionate about atheism. And after the revolution, we'd started having freedom of the press. So there was a lot of interest in spiritual things. So he started reading these articles that talked about the spiritual world, and he was just interested in them until one day he realized, I believe that there is something beyond this material world. And then he realized, wait a minute, if there is something more, then God exists. And if God exists, then I have to repent, because he'd heard the gospel as a child. So he did. He became a believer. Our entire family started going to church with him. And actually, when he became a believer, I was 11, and that was the first time I'd heard the name of Jesus.
Wow.
I knew about God. Uh-huh. I just didn't know about Jesus, because he didn't let us know about that. Mm-hmm. And after he became a believer, he went to seminary, he became a pastor, and he was actually diagnosed with leukemia, so he was medically discharged from the military. And after he became a pastor, he went back part-time in the military as the first evangelical chaplain ever in the history of Romania. Because he said, you know, I fought against God in the Romanian military, and I want to honor him in the same place. Mm. So it was an amazing story of how God used his life to work in my life and in the lives of many other people.
Wow. You know who I'm thinking about, Chuck, is that grandmother.
Mm.
I think there's some grandparents listening to Anda's story saying, look at the generational impact of that one grandparent.
Yeah, the old statement, just never stop praying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure she didn't.
She did not.
Oh, I'm sure she didn't. And there's something about grandparents, that stubborn streak of goodness that comes when they know what's best. So she would pray.
You know, you started out by mentioning prayer. I think that's a good way to land this conversation, Chuck. We always do when we meet with our international friends. It's a little tradition here to do that. So I'm going to ask Ben, if you would, in your own language, so we can hear the beauty of the Romanian language, would you lift up our time in prayer?
Tatăl nostru care ești în ceruri, mulțumim pentru Domnul Iisus Hristos și mântuirea pe care o avem în El. Mulțumim pentru Insight for Living Ministries și te rugăm să binecuvintezi slujirea din România și din multe, multe alte țări până la marginile pământului. În numele Domnului Iisus ne rugăm. Amin.
Amen.
Amen.
Today, Chuck Swindoll is sitting down with Ben and Anda Mogos, who represent Insight for Living in the country of Romania. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Chuck's conversation with Ben Ananda continued for nearly an hour, and you can hear the complete discussion right now by going to insight.org/Romanian. You'll also see a few pictures of Chuck with Ben Ananda, and we'll be sharing the second half of their personal story on the next edition of Insight for Living. You know, it's encouraging to meet people like this couple who've taken the Great Commission of Jesus to heart and made sacrificial investments to make disciples of all the nations. And at Insight for Living Ministries, it's our privilege to support their work as a part of Vision 195. In many respects, Ben and Ananda beautifully model our dream to reach all 195 countries of the world. As you're willing to link arms with us and give financially, we can assure you your donation will make an impact. To be clear, the majority of your gift is applied toward bringing Chuck's teaching to your hometown and to stations all across America, where men and women continue to rely on Insight for Living. And then a small portion of our general budget is applied toward Romania and other countries in order to fully fund the efforts taking place beyond our borders. And so we boldly invite you to join us in touching lives by giving a donation today. You can do that right now by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. And if you're listening in the United States, you can also give by texting the word INSIGHT to 555-888. Or give online when you visit us at insight.org. Chuck Swindoll continues his personal conversation with Ben and Ananda Mogos about their fascinating ministry in Romania, Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding interview, a Vision 195 conversation with Chuck, Insight for Living Romania, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.